Amen.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Or Happy Women's Day, we could call it that, to all of the ladies out there. You're all so wonderful. We're so glad that you're here today. So excited to be with you. So excited to see some new faces or some faces we haven't seen in a while. So welcome. And like Pastor Sean said, I'm a little nervous, so don't be mean to me. Laugh at my jokes, please, and say amen every now and then. Just kidding. And I hope you don't mind. I think I'm going to sit the whole time. It's a little difficult these days for me to stand for very long. I don't want to pass out. So I'm just kidding. But I figured this might be a little bit more laid back, a little more relaxed today, a little bit more down to earth. I'm going to speak to you a little bit from my heart and just some things that God has shared with me. And I hope and I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and does something in your heart and in your life. And so this message today is really geared toward, is really geared toward mothers and women in the room. But I really believe that it can also be very applicable to the men in the room. So men, please don't tune this out. Give God and the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak to you as well. So, with that, I'm going to pray and just ask that the Holy Spirit speaks through me and speaks to you and opens your heart and says and does what he wants today. So would you pray with me and ask him to do that? Lord, you are a good Father. And God, I thank you that you are good and you're perfect, Lord, no matter where we are, God, no matter how weak we are, no matter what we're capable of and what we're not, you are good. And Lord, you are the king today. You are on your throne today. So we give this service to you, God. We're here for you. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts, open our minds, have your way in us. Lord, I just ask that I wouldn't be seen today, God. I just ask that you would be seen today through me and that you would speak your words through me, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I prayed about what I could say that would be the most meaningful for mothers and for women in general on this day, God immediately brought this topic to my mind that that he's actually been speaking to me about for the past several months to maybe even a year. He's been dealing with me about this, and so I thought it'd be perfect for today. I know it's something that probably something that we all could be reminded of a lot, but definitely women and definitely mothers. And really, I can only speak on their behalf. So I know how applicable this was to me. And so I know for the women, at least it will be. And so God really began to just reveal some truths about this topic to me and really started to transform my thinking and therefore my life. I really believe that God has used these truths to start transforming my heart and my life. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit does the same for you today. And this topic that I'm talking about is the fact that we have been created uniquely and for a unique purpose. I'm going to let it sink in for a second because this is what I want you to grab a hold of today. I'm going to repeat it. We have been created uniquely and for a unique purpose. And I think we could all agree with that. We could all agree that that's probably true. But I do think that there's one big enemy that a lot of times causes us to forget that truth or to not believe it. And that is the enemy of comparison. How many of you, with a show of hands, please be honest, have ever looked at other people or someone else and thought, something along the lines of, wow, they've really got it together. They've really got their stuff together. That family, they've really got it together. Great kids, good marriage, or they're really successful. They look like they're making a decent amount of money. They've done a lot with their lives, probably more than I've done. Or they look a lot better than me. I say that a lot these days. Thank you. Thanks. or they're funnier than I am. So how many of you ever thought something along those lines? Looked at someone and then thought that about yourself? Okay, thank you. I'll raise both of my hands. Caitlin and I, my sister, said that we would at least be raising our hands today for that question. So, and it's hard not to compare ourselves in this day and age, isn't it? It's really hard not to with social media, for example. How many of you have a Facebook? All right. I probably spend entirely too much time on Facebook. and with things like that, or Instagram, or Twitter, or Snapchat, what am I missing? There's so many things out there, so many forms of media, so many different things you can put pictures up on. And how many of you know that we and other people only put the best pictures of themselves on social media, right? Right? You only put the prettiest ones where your makeup looks nice and your hair looks good. Or you look the skinniest. Again, I'm not posting very many pictures these days. or, you know, the family, you know, all the kids are smiling and their hair's combed and everybody looks great, right? It's very easy to post things and to make people think whatever they want you to think about their lives or about their families because they only put the best up there usually, right? And so it's easy to find ourselves comparing ourselves to people. And what about just media in general? You can, any movie you watch, it seems like, or any TV show you watch these days, or you can't even walk into the grocery store and look at a magazine that isn't showing us the picture of the ideal woman or man. You know, what we should look like, supermodels, and how great they are, even though they've had four kids. They still look wonderful, and here's what they're doing, and it's so wonderful. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And it's so easy to look at that and say, wow, I really need to get to work. I've really got a lot of work to do to get there. That's what I need to look like. That's what I need to focus on. That's what I need to become. Or how about blogging? Blogging is a big thing today, right? Has anyone ever just kind of gone through and read some articles on, you know, someone's opinion about how to parent, for example, or how to be a good spouse, how to have a great marriage? You guys know what I'm talking about? Again, they have a lot of that on Facebook, and I probably spend entirely too much time on Facebook. And so I read a lot of these articles, and, you know, it's like 10 things that you should be doing with your kids to make sure that they're successful in life, right? And it's this list of crazy things. Or, you know, how to get a guy and keep him, right? Has anyone ever seen any of this? Any of these blogs, or, you know, how to make more money, or just how to be successful, how to be happy, and we see all of these standards and all of these goals that people have, and it seems like these people that have written these articles and these people who are sharing them, they've got it all together and they have it figured out. And I don't know about you, but I look at those things sometimes and I think, wow, that's not what I do. I probably need to change some things around. I probably need to be a better mom, right? I probably need to spend more time with my daughter, you know, practicing her ABCs, or I probably let her watch too much TV, or I don't feed her the right things, organic foods, and all of those things that you read about that are the healthiest. And, you know, you can look at those things and you can think, you know, I'm not really measuring up in that area. Has anyone ever felt that way? I feel that way when I read those things and when I look at those things and I compare myself to those people and to media, and I look at what society tells us we should do and how we should be and how we should be successful, how, you know, what the right way to parent is and to be a mom and to make more money, those sorts of things. And you can fill in the blank. You know, those are just a few examples, but there are so many standards and so many goals that our society sets for us, and it almost naturally causes us to compare ourselves. And sometimes other people put expectations on us and cause us to compare ourselves. And with that comparison comes an awareness of our weaknesses, our inabilities, our shortcomings. Comparison helps us to realize everything that we're not, right? For a moment, comparison might even motivate us to become better. But it usually ultimately ends in failure and frustration and leaves us feeling worse about ourselves than we did originally, right? You see these things that you're not good at naturally, or all these people are so much better at doing that than we are. And so we want to give it a try. We want to give it a go. We want to lose 50 pounds or, you know, be super mom. That's something that I guess I struggle with a little bit. You know, seeing moms that appear to have it all together. They get up at, you know, 5 in the morning. They go all day long. Their kids are perfect and smart and speak 3 languages. And, you know, the kids are perfectly on a schedule. And, you know, their house is immaculate, amazingly. I look at myself and I think, I lost my train of thought now. But it might motivate us for a little while to become better. And then when we fail, because that's not who we are, we end up frustrated and we end up looking at ourselves like worse than how we thought originally. And so comparison can then become a thief of time and our attention and our emotions. Because again, when we become aware of a perceived weakness that we have because we've compared ourselves to someone or something else, or listened to what society said that we should be, we then obsess over fixing it, right? We try to fix it. We try to become better. We try to, you know, go on a diet and lose that weight, or we try to manage our time better so that we can fit all of these things in our day and be the perfect mom or the perfect wife, or, you know, get a better job or whatever it is. And so we obsess over these things, and we spend all of our time and our energy and our money and our emotion trying to fix and replace these perceived weaknesses. And then the idea of being created uniquely and for a unique purpose just goes out the window. Because then who we are or who we see ourselves as is no longer appealing to us. And we end up striving for all of these goals, all of these same goals that everyone else in the world is striving for, and who they're striving to be. And we're all trying to get the same thing and become this ideal person and have this ideal life. And there's no uniqueness in that. That idea just goes out the window. But can I ask you a couple of questions today? Can I? Thanks. Is it possible that God's standards are different than ours? Is it conceivable that God views us completely differently than we view ourselves sometimes? And can you consider that maybe your perceived weaknesses are not what God perceives as weaknesses? And maybe he wants you to put your time and your focus and your energy on other things. Things other than what you're focusing on and putting your time and your energy into right now. Maybe God has a different idea. How can we know that? Well, the Bible tells us that God's thoughts and his ways are higher than ours, and they're completely different than ours. And God even tells us in 1 Samuel that the Lord doesn't see things the way that we see them. People judge the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's already different than our standards and our measurements. So we can see already that God thinks about things differently. He measures things differently. He has different standards than we do, than what our society has, than what our world has. He's measuring things differently. He's not looking at the same things. He's not measuring us based on how we look how much money we're making, what our status is. He's not looking at those things. He's looking at things a little bit differently. Let's take a look together at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. I'll give you a second to open up your Bibles if you want to do that. Or it is up there. Okay, they got it. Good. We're going to look at more of this chapter in a little bit, but we're going to stay a lot in Psalm 139 today. So if you want a key scripture, if you want something to take home and read, it's Psalm 139. We're going to start at verses 13 through 16. It says, "You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And so right there, in four verses, that idea of being created uniquely and for a unique purpose is proven. It's right there in four verses. He tells us how God just so intricately put us together on purpose. Each part of our body, he just very delicately and intricately put us together one at a time, thought about each part, our inside, our outside, our heart, our preferences, our talents, our skills, what we would be passionate about. God so intimately created all of that and thought about all of that and did it on purpose. The way that you are, the way that you look, the things that you're passionate about, the things that you are good at, and the things that you are bad at, God did it on purpose, and it's right there. He created us. He created you uniquely. And it wasn't like anybody else, and it wasn't to look like anybody else or to be like someone else. He made you the way that you are on purpose. And then he didn't stop there. It says every single day and every single moment of our lives, he designed, he created, he planned out before any of them happened. How amazing is that? God not only made us the way that we are on purpose, but he did it for a reason. He did it so that we could accomplish this purpose, these plans that he made for us. And they're not supposed to be like anyone else's. You know, I think that's one of the coolest and also one of the scariest things about pregnancy and having children is, you know, you've got this, like, little thing growing inside of you, and you know, it's kind of exciting because you don't know what's gonna come out. You don't know what it's gonna be like. You don't know what it's gonna look like. You know, we were having a funny discussion in our ladies' Bible study one Wednesday night, and we were being honest. We were talking about how, you know, some babies just don't come out that cute. They're just not. They're not pretty babies, and so you hope and you pray that your baby is going to be one of those cute ones, and but you don't know. You don't know what you're getting, but God is forming him or her, and you know, is doing it on purpose, but it's a surprise for us, and then you don't know what they're going to be like. You don't know what their personality will be. You don't know if they're going to be a good kid or a bad kid. I am praying that this kid is a little calmer than Adeline. My sweet little daughter, my sweet little girl, she's so good. And I love her so much, but she's a handful. And she, you know, if someone wasn't right with her, she'd probably be hanging off of that balcony right now. So I'm praying that that this one is a little, you know, even though it's a boy, so the odds of that are pretty slim. but that's kind of what's exciting, is that God creates each one of us, each child, so uniquely, and we don't know what all of those plans are, what they're all going to be, and it's exciting. It's scary sometimes, but that's kind of the cool thing about God And he did that with all of us. He created us uniquely and for a unique purpose. He made you that way for a reason, and it is okay to embrace who God created you to be. It's okay. It might not look like someone else. It might not look like the best version that you think it could be. But it's okay to embrace who God made you to be. And to find out what he wants you to become and what he wants you to do. It's okay. And God wants us to do that instead of comparing ourselves, instead of trying to reach all of these unattainable goals that other people have set, that society has set. He wants us to look at the real us, who he made us to be, and what he wants us to do. I have a story to read you. Some of you may have heard this story before. I actually heard it here. I don't even remember who read this story. Some pastor at Kingsway at some point. So I'm sure some of you have heard this story also. And it came to my mind as I was preparing this message, and it was perfect, and I found it really quickly. So I want to share it with you. I'll read a little bit of it, and then I'll paraphrase some of it. So just follow along with me. If you already know the story, just bear with me, but maybe some of you have not heard it. Every night, and this is a true story, by the way. This isn't made up. Every night before she went to bed, little Amy Carmichael prayed ardently and enthusiastically for God to turn her brown eyes blue as she slept. Like many brown-eyed Irish girls in the 19th century, she adored the typical image of feminine Irish beauty that included blue eyes and white skin. So there we see the culture and the society and what what was deemed as beautiful. So she prayed fervently with a hope for God to change the part of her that seemed to be designed wrong. She desperately hoped for God's intervention, but it never came. She had brown eyes from the day she was born until the day she died, and regardless of how much she begged, God was not moved to effect a change in the design of Amy. And so I'll skip ahead a little bit and kind of paraphrase. She, she was okay with that. She really wanted blue eyes, but it didn't cause her to hate God or be mad at God. She still served him in her church, and she ended up being one of the church leaders, and God eventually called her to missions work, and she ended up in, it says, southern India, or the southernmost part of India, as a missionary. And it says the missionaries she worked with did everything they could to fit into the culture of which they were becoming a part. And that's when Amy reflected once that she now understood why she had brown eyes. A blue-eyed missionary would have been an oddity that never could have truly fit in with the people. And she was thankful that God had persisted in his intricate and elegant design. And so it goes on to say what she did specifically in India. And it's pretty amazing. It says that during that time, it was not uncommon for young girls to be given to the local Hindu temple. And Amy couldn't bear to let this happen. So she devoted herself to rescuing these girls and housing them in whatever way she could. Soon she founded the Donavar Fellowship. Sorry if I mispronounced that. And she provided a safe haven for over 1,000 children who might otherwise die or be forced into prostitution or slavery. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing call of God? I mean, if you talk about an accomplishment, saving over 1,000 children for God, and she was only able to do that because of the way that God designed her. And she didn't understand when she was young why God made her that way. But she later saw when she trusted God and accepted that God was able to use the way that he created her for his purpose, for his plan. So I thought that was just a really cool story. And, it's the same for all of us. You might not understand why God made you the way that you are, or why you have some of the struggles that you have, or some of the weaknesses that you do have. You may not understand why you can't look or be like these other people who seem to have it all together. But again, God created you uniquely for a unique purpose. Remember that. Embrace that. But you know, even though we were created uniquely and for a unique purpose, we can't get around the fact that we're human. And we do indeed have weaknesses. Amen? We do have shortcomings. We do have failures, things that, you know, we do need to work on. We do have struggles. But so many times we let these weaknesses define us. We let these weaknesses keep us from God and what He's called us to do because we think that these weaknesses disqualify us. We feel like God gets frustrated with us or He gets fed up with us after so many times of not getting it right or this weakness that we perceive is so bad and we can't overcome it on our own and we think God is just not going to put up with us for much longer. I felt that way a lot. Has anyone else ever felt that way? Be honest. It's okay. We think we have to reach a certain level sometimes or get certain things fixed or get them right before God can really love us or really be proud of us or really use us. And I don't know what that is for you, but you do. Maybe that's public speaking or maybe that's a personality trait. Maybe that's a physical characteristic. Stephen Furtick, in his book, Unqualified, put it this way. He said, I used to think the answer to my failures was to fix them, that the solution to my weaknesses was to replace them with strengths. I assumed the secret to success was to appear as perfect, flawless, and superhuman as possible. I concluded that my character and competency qualified me or disqualified me. Can anyone relate to that? We want to put on this persona. We want to give this appearance that we've got it all together, that we're perfect, that you know, we don't have any weaknesses, or if we do, we're working on them and we're going to fix them. We think that's what we're supposed to do. Let's take a look at Psalm 139 again, though. And this time, let's look at verses 2 through 6. So we saw a little bit ago about how God created us uniquely with a unique purpose. But let's go back. He says, Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit, when I stand. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. And then skip down to verses 17 and 18. It says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So what does that say about these weaknesses and how God looks at us and views us? He already knows it all, right? Because remember, He designed you and He created you and He knows every single detail about you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your failures. He knows your thoughts, those things in your heart. Those things that sometimes you hide and that no one else knows, God knows. And it says that He still places His hand of blessing on us. He still thinks precious and good thoughts about us. So many, in fact, that they outnumber the grains of sand. God sees our weakness, He knows our weakness, and He loves us unconditionally, just the way that we are. And accepts us just the way that we are. In the midst of our weakness and our failures, He still has designed us uniquely with a unique purpose. That doesn't change. God knows we're weak. He created us. He knows we have flaws and shortcomings. He made us. So what do we do about them? What are we supposed to do about it? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Give you a second to turn there. This is Paul talking about a weakness that he has, and he calls it the thorn in his flesh, and I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this passage. The thorn in his flesh, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it was physical, if it was spiritual, if it was emotional, but it was a weakness. It was something that he felt held him back. And it was, you know, he wanted to serve God better. He wanted to become better. And it was something that he couldn't overcome by himself. So he begged God to take it from him. He begged God to deliver him from this weakness, or what he thought was a weakness. And he said, I asked God three different times. I begged him to take it away. And this was God's answer. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So then Paul said, now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and insults and hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you get that? That is so opposite of what we think. Paul took a completely different approach. He didn't try really hard to fix himself. Or maybe he did, but he eventually stopped. He didn't say, I need to get this right before God can really use me. I need to get this right before I can reach my full potential. No, he said, I'm going to boast about my weakness now. I'm going to be happy about it. That is so opposite of what we think. And why did he say that? He said that because then he realized that in his weakness, God's power could be used. God's power could be seen. And God certainly wasn't interested in taking it away. I think that's really interesting too. Again, we think that when we have these perceived weaknesses and these shortcomings, that God wants us to get rid of them all. But here, God clearly wasn't interested in taking it away. God wanted to use Paul's weakness for good. God instead showed his power through Paul's weakness. And God wants to do the same for you. Now, maybe God and the Holy Spirit will speak to you about some things that you need to work on, but he offers you grace and he helps you through it. And of course, if we're talking about sin, of course, God wants us to repent of that and get that right, but he offers us grace and he wants to help us with that. But some of these weaknesses that we think are so bad that we need to fix, God is saying, hey, I made you that way because I want to show my power through you and through that weakness, and I can use it because I'm strong. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to look to him and say, God, I can't do it on my own. Let me tell you today, I could not do this on my own. The other day, 2 days ago, literally, having a freak out moment. God, I don't want to do this on Sunday. I'm just going to call Sean and he's going to have to figure it out. And I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about, but I really didn't have much more than that. And God took me to this verse. It said, my power works best in your weakness. Let me work through you. And even though I'm weak and uncomfortable and don't like doing this, I'm trusting that God can somehow use it, that his power can be seen. And that's what God wants to do with our weaknesses. Laura, if you could come up for a minute. Remember, God created us uniquely with a unique purpose. That includes our strengths and our weaknesses. He did it on purpose. He wants us to depend on him to accomplish his purpose. So let's stop comparing ourselves to others. Let's stop measuring ourselves to the standards of this world and of other people. Let's seek God for his standards and his measurements, what he wants us to strive for, what he wants us to work on. And let's embrace the fact that he's created us uniquely, just the way that we are, on purpose. And let's seek him for what he wants to do with that, how he wants to use that. Instead of being so focused on changing it, on fixing yourself, let's seek God for what he wants to show you, what he wants to do with your life. Remember, we're his children, we're his sons, we're his daughters. And again, thinking about Mother's Day, you know, when your child messes up or has a failure or a shortcoming, you don't give up on them. You don't kick them to the curb. And if that's us as humans, how much more does God view us that way? He loves us. Another quote from Stephen Furtick from that same book. He said, God called me, God equipped me, God empowered me, God opened doors for me. So my qualifications, or lack thereof, or in other words, his weaknesses, were relatively irrelevant. It's not based on what you do, on what you can accomplish. It's about what God can do through you. You have to surrender them to him. You have to depend on him. You have to let him work through you and show his power through you. So that's what I want you to get today. That's what I want you to understand, especially, again, for women and moms. It's such an easy thing to compare ourselves to others, to other women, to other moms, to other successful people. But let's stop. Let's look at who God wants us to be and how he wants to use us. And so I want you just take a minute, and you don't have to come to the altar, but you know, if you'd like to do that, that's fine. But I just want us to take a minute and maybe close our eyes and just sort of reflect, and let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to reveal those things to us. Let's surrender those things to him. The comparison, the, you know, not liking things about ourselves. Let's surrender it to God and ask him to use us. So just take a minute and just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to you. Father, again, we just thank you for being so good. We thank you for your grace. Grace that looks at us just the way that we are right now and loves us and accepts us and wants to accomplish a unique purpose through us. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for making us the way that we are. Thank you for making me the way that I am. God, I know that it was on purpose. Lord, I ask that for each of us today, we would stop comparing ourselves to others. And we would start seeking you and listening to what you say about us, looking at ourselves the way that you look at us, as daughters, as sons, as people who have value, as people who are unique, who you want to use. God, help us to see ourselves the way that you do. And Lord, when we are weak, help us to run to you instead of away from you. Help us to surrender those things to you. Help us to depend on you for strength, God. Where we are weak, we ask that you would be made strong. We ask that whatever purpose you have for us, that you would accomplish it, God. We surrender to you. The good, the bad, everything that we are today, we give it to you, God. That's what you ask. That's what you want. We give it all to you. We trust you. We believe that you've created us this way on purpose and that you want to do something great with our lives. Lord, I pray that as we surrender to you and as we begin to believe those truths, God, that you would just reveal things to us about who we are, about what you want us to do, God, about who you've created us to be, Lord. Reveal those things to us, God, and have your way in our lives. God, use us to be all that you've created us to be and to do all you've created us to do. And Lord, when we feel weak, when we feel like we're not measuring up, God, help us to remember who you are and that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to rest in that. Help us to depend on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.